This is the Whole Hog Sports Football Podcast, presented by Massage Envy, featuring interviews, analysis, and feature stories on Arkansas football. Now, from Fayetteville, here's your host, Seth Campbell.
The Razorbacks left Oxford with a loss for the first time since 2013. But for Morris and the Hogs, focus must be shifted to Colorado State.
A year ago that this happened to us and we let one team beat us a few times. We got to respond.
One response everyone is awaiting is from newly named starter Nick Starkle.
If you know something 100%, you're going to be playing really fast rather than second guessing yourself. Do I do this? Do I do that? And that's really what we're looking for this week, is just be playing fast.
Everyone in the locker room knows how important this game is for the future of the Razorback program.
We think this is going to be a game that's going to decide the season. If we don't capitalize on this next opportunity, then it might be a rough season again. So that's everybody's mindset. We got to win this game, and I think that's going to kick off this season the right way.
A new quarterback, a renewed focus, but will this be a new team? From Whole Hog Sports, I'm Seth Campbell, and this is the Whole Hog Football Podcast. Today's show, we'll talk about the Pro Hogs, who made their 2019 season debut last week. We'll also talk to Kelly Lyle, a sports reporter for the Coloradoan, who covers the Rams. Then we'll wrap it up with the most experienced Razorback roundtable out there, as Tom Murphy, Dudley Dawson, and Scotty Bordelon discuss the Hogs game against Colorado State. But first, a word from our sponsor, Massage Envy. Massage Envy has been voted the best day spa and best massage in all of Northwest Arkansas. Great therapists and estheticians go along with a new service that I am truly excited about. Rapid Tension Relief uses a special tool that will melt the tension and soreness away. Trust me, you will not be disappointed in the results. I highly recommend this feature along with a total body stretch assisted stretch program. Whether you are competing at a high level or just want to relax, these services are for everyone. Massage, rapid tension relief, total body stretch, deep muscle treatment massage, you choose. Or you can try any combination of those. So the next time you're feeling tight, make sure to call my friends at Massage Envy. Well, the NFL season kicked off this week, and there were just a few Pro Hogs in action. So if you're looking for an excuse to watch an NFL game, or you need a rooting interest, let me help you out with a list of the Pro Hogs. That way, when the significant other wants you to watch some sitcom on a Thursday night or a Monday, you'll have an excuse to flip on some football. Let's start with the Patriots. The Patriots have Dietrich Wise, a former defensive end for the Razorbacks, who's playing defensive tackle. Wise made the 53-man roster, and in his game against the Steelers, in which the Patriots won 33-3, he had one tackle. And his tackle, well, it was a sack on Ben Roethlisberger that forced a fumble. The Patriots also have two other Arkansas Razorbacks on their roster, Alte Froholt and Dan Skipper. But Froholt is on the reserved and injured list, while Skipper is on their practice squad. Moving on now to the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns have Chris Smith, the defensive end, on their 53-man roster. Smith played 9 snaps on defense and did not record a stat in the Browns' 43-13 loss to the Titans. He also recorded 1 snap on special teams. Moving on to the Colts picked up former Bills running back Jonathan Williams, and Williams made the 53-man roster, but he was ruled out of the Colts' 30-24 loss to the Chargers. The Tennessee Titans have wide receiver Cody Hollister, but Hollister's on the practice squad, not on the 53-man roster, so right now you won't be seeing Hollister on Sundays. The Denver Broncos picked up quarterback Brandon Allen, and Allen is listed on the 53-man roster after being a third string for a while in the Rams organization. Allen is actually listed as the backup to Joe Flacco. So keep an eye out and mile high. If Flacco goes down, well, the former Razorback would be the next man up. Hunter Henry, recovering from an ACL tear, made the 53-man roster with the Chargers, and Henry was targeted 5 times and caught 4 of them for 60 yards in the Chargers game against the Colts. Hunter was the third most targeted receiver in the Chargers offense, behind Keenan Allen and Austin Eckler. So keep a lookout for Henry to have a big year with the Chargers, who like to throw the ball around a lot. Offensive tackle Jason Peters made the 53-man roster for the Philadelphia Eagles. Peters played every offensive snap in the Eagles' 32-27 victory over the Redskins. The Eagles gave up just one sack in the game and rushed for 123 yards and one touchdown. Meanwhile, the Redskins, Jeremy Sprinkle made the 53-man roster for them. Sprinkle did get in the game and caught one target for 8 yards, and the Redskins lost to Jason Peters' Eagles 27-32. Moving on now to the Detroit Lions, they have two former Razorbacks on their team that made the 53-man roster, and both have significant roles, with both Frank Ragnow and Trey Flowers starting for the Lions. Starting with Ragnow, offensive lineman, he started and played every snap in the Lions' 27-27 tie with the Cardinals. The Lions allowed 3 sacks in the game, but Ragnow got in the stat book, big man in the stat book, by recovering a Matthew Stafford fumble. Trey Flowers, the defensive end, was also in the game and started the game for the Lions. He played in about 60% of defensive snaps. He recorded 2 tackles and was called for a face mask penalty in the game. The Green Bay Packers, they picked up Randy Ramsey, linebacker, but he's on their practice squad, so he did not play Sunday. The Minnesota Vikings have Armand Watts on their team. Watts is a defensive tackle, and Watts was not active, though, during the Vikings' 28-12 victory over the Falcons. The Carolina Panthers have wide receiver Jarius Wright, former receiver from the Bobby Petrino era. Wright caught his only target for 14 yards, and Wright was on the field for 60% of the Panthers' snaps. Bijan Jackson is also on the Panthers. He's a defensive tackle, but he's on the Panthers' practice squad. Mitchell Lavin got some good news before Monday's game against the Texans. The Saints promoted him from the practice squad to the actual 53-man roster. Lavin recorded 2 sacks and committed an offsides penalty while playing just 11% of defensive snaps during the Saints' 30-28 victory over the Texans. Tampa Bay Buccaneers have former Razorback Jeremiah Ledbetter as a defensive lineman on their team, but Ledbetter is on the reserve and injured list. To wrap up our Pro Hogs update, the San Francisco 49ers have former linebacker Dre Greenlaw on their 53-man roster. Not only did Greenlaw make the roster, but the rookie started the 49ers game against the Buccaneers. He was involved in 4 tackles, 3 of them being solo tackles, and he participated in 80% of the 49ers' plays. Well, that has been your Pro Hogs update. So when you're sitting on your couch on a Sunday or maybe a Monday or a Thursday, make sure to tune in to an NFL game, and you could probably catch a former Razorback in action.
Massage Envy has been voted the best day spa and best massage in all of Northwest Arkansas. One reason is our great therapists and estheticians. Due to increased demand with our new services in both massage and skincare, Massage Envy is now looking for talented, licensed providers to join our great team. A competitive compensation package and family-like environment are just some of the reasons our providers have worked nearly 10 years with Massage Envy. Looking for a great career? Come by our clinics in Rogers or Fayetteville and apply today.
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
I like getting hit. The hits hurt a little hard in the SEC, and so I like that.
That's new starting quarterback Nick Starkle. Hopefully the offensive line can protect Nick, and he won't have to get hit very often. Welcome into the Whole Hog Football Podcast, joined now by Kelly Lyle, reporter for the Coloradan newspaper. And Kelly, thanks so much for joining us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so we'll just start with the head coach, Mike Bobo. He's coming off of his first season at Colorado State, where he didn't take the Rams to a bowl game. What are you seeing from Bobo's team this year that differentiates them from last year's team?
The biggest difference is probably that a lot of young guys, especially on the defense, that were sort of thrown into the fire last year, they're still young, but they've got a little more experience, and they've added a couple defensive, a couple grad tra- or not grad transfers, but D1 transfers that are probably helping them a bit on defense. And then Jalen Bates, who was at Arizona State last year and pretty effective. He's at one end position. And then Tron Folsom, a transfer from Troy. Those two guys have helped a little bit bolster the defense. Actually, I guess there's another two, Andre Neal, who came in from a junior college program. Those guys have helped defensively a little bit. The biggest change, though, really is a mentality change in that they're trying to there were some serious foundational problems, as Mike Bobo acknowledged yesterday, that they ran in. They discovered last season, especially while the coach was going through health issues that, you know, kept him in the hospital for 10 days during fall camp and had him coaching from the press box at the first game of the season, and had an assistant calling plays through the first four games of the season. They didn't really have a very good established leadership or accountability. And so they put a lot of emphasis on that in the off season. And players say it's making a huge difference. I'm not sure that you can fix those things as quickly as they're trying, but at least based on what the players are saying, they seem to think that's making a huge difference and that they have a very different mentality this year. I'm not sure they're really that much better a football team this year than they were last year, but at least they feel like they're doing more things right.
Yes, and hey, that's half the battle. And you know, kind of speaking of mindset, let's go to, you know, Colorado State. They haven't had just a ton of success on the road against Southeastern Conference teams, but this team has experience with going to Florida last year. And, you know, this is a very winnable game for them going into an SEC opponent against Arkansas. What's kind of the team's mindset going into this game?
You know, I think that they kind of feel like this is a game that they have a shot at winning, certainly. You know, you'd hope they go into every game believing and feeling they can win. They claim they do. I'm not sure that's always the case. You know, I don't think anybody really on this team thought they were going to win when they went into Alabama a couple years ago. But nevertheless, I think having beaten Arkansas last year, I think that gives them a lot more confidence. And having played in SEC environments, I mean, these are players that quite a few of them were, you know, at Alabama in 2017. They were at Florida last year. So they're not maybe going to be as intimidated as some Colorado State teams over the years might have been by playing an SEC team and on its home field. And I'm also not sure Arkansas's, you know, setting is quite as intimidating as Alabama or Florida. So, and then they open the season in an NFL stadium every year against a rival, Colorado. So, you know, with and some years have been over 70,000 fans there. This year it was, you know, 60 some, but nevertheless, I don't think they're going to have that intimidation factor. So I think that makes a difference. They'll come in onto the field believing that they can beat this Arkansas team, not kind of feeling like we're the underdogs. I know the odds makers have made them a 10 to 12 point underdog, depending on what time of day I check. But I don't think they feel like they are 10 to 12 point underdogs. I think they feel like this is an even up game that if they do the right things, if they play the way they're supposed to, they will win.
That makes sense. And one of the guys that has really helped them play the way that they think that they can and to the level that they can is Colin Hill. He's been lighting up the stat sheet in his first two games, including 374 yards and three touchdowns against Power 5 Colorado. What makes Hill such an offensive weapon?
You know, the biggest thing is, first of all, he's got all the physical tools, and I think he always has. Two ACL injuries, I think, you know, a little tough mentally for people to totally overcome, but I think he finally is truly over that now. Tore the ACL on his left knee twice, once on the football field while playing as a true freshman in 2016, and then again just before the start of spring practices while playing in a pickup basketball game a year ago. So he played some last year and late in the season, but he was not the Colin Hill that he is now. He is fully confident now. So he's got a great arm. He's got all the right tools. I've talked to many NFL people, the folks at the Manning camp. You know, he went to the Manning Passing Academy, worked with the Mannings, and they all say he's got an NFL arm, an NFL body. And now he has been in Mike Bobo's system now for 4 years. He has had a real chance to kind of learn that offense. And, you know, I think Mike Bobo said the other day, it's almost, you know, we we're on the same page. Colin Hill was saying he kind of knows what plays Bobo's going to call before he calls them. He's already seeing the same thing and sensing the same, you know, vulnerabilities on the defense. So he said it makes it a lot easier to have not only have things happen faster because he's thinking the same way and seeing what the coach is seeing. But then also it's easier for him to help maybe that young receiver make sure he knows what he's doing when they're in the huddle, because he's not so worried about what the quarterback's got to do. He knows what he's doing. He's just got to make sure, you know, this talented receiver, Dante Wright, who's got 4 touchdowns in 2 games, knows what to do, things like that. So I think that makes a big difference, especially the way Mike Bobo runs his offense. I think it's pretty complicated. I think quarterbacks are expected to learn a lot and do a lot to get them into the right protections, the right plays, the right directions. And I think Colin Hill is definitely going to benefit significantly from having been in it as long as he has been this season and next.
Yeah. You talked about the freshman and Dante Wright, and, you know, around this state in Arkansas, there's been a lot of talk about freshman receivers that Arkansas brought in over the offseason. But really, the freshman receiver with the best stats in this game will be Dante Wright. 59 yards on the ground, 79 yards receiving, 2 touchdowns. That was just against Colorado. Why is Wright so hard to contain?
He's fast. He's the fastest guy on their team. And then Mike Bobo, knowing how big a problem the lack of speed was for this Colorado State team the last few years, has said, you know what, we've got a guy that's a real burner, a real speedster. Let's find ways to utilize that. Western Illinois, it meant, you know, he basically ran a post route on the first play of the game and scored a touchdown. So, you know, they went 75 yards for a touchdown just like that. He just outran. There was nobody that could cover him, and Colin Hill hit him perfectly in stride, and it was that simple. You know, they run end arounds to him. They'll throw him the ball over the middle and let him do things. He's tiny. You know, they list him at 5'10", but it's realistically probably more like 5'8", and about 160 to 165 pounds, I'm guessing, soaking wet. But he's got some incredible athleticism. Not only is he fast, he makes some nice moves. He cuts well. And they're going to find ways to use him. He's the punt returner. You know, he's a true freshman that honestly is touching the ball a whole lot more than most true freshmen would in any college football team. And I think that's a realization that this guy is a special talent and they need to use him and not let him sit on the sidelines for a year or two while he develops. Let's use him now and figure out later what more we can do with him.
We're talking to Kelly Lyle from the Coloradan. Kelly, to going from, you know, we're talking about really young guys and Wright, you wrote a story recently about a really old guy. In fact, he's the oldest player in college football, and Josh Griffin. Griffin, he's a former Army staff sergeant. What has he been able to bring to this team?
Well, actually, he's a current Army staff sergeant, which is one of the more interesting things. He is still on active duty in the U.S. Army. He's just currently assigned to the ROTC program at Colorado State, where he's finishing a bachelor's degree.
Okay.
So he brings, you know, some tremendous leadership. This is a guy that has been working in U.S. Army Special Operations, supporting Green Berets and Army Rangers, training with them and working in the field, supporting them in combat for 13 years. And so he is certainly knows all about leadership and them. But he's also, because he's one of the players, I think, because he's a teammate, players are a lot more comfortable going to him when they have an issue than maybe going to a coach or another member of the staff, because I think they trust him. They're like, you know what, this guy's one of us. He's not going to betray me. And at the same time, he's kind of giving them life lessons, you know, telling them that, hey, you know, look at all the things I've done with my life. You're young. Don't screw it up now. And I think that in this accountability and leadership type things they're doing, he is one of the team leaders in that, one of the 10 players they've chosen to lead those teams. I think he's playing a very significant role. He's yet to see the field in a game. He's got a hand injury currently, also had a nagging hamstring problem. So he hasn't suited up for the first 2 games. So he keeps telling me every week he'll get in. He told me again this week that, you know, next week I'll be playing. So we'll see. But, he's a great story, and it's obvious the way these players look up to him. They really marvel at, here's a 32, almost 33-year-old guy who still runs faster than a lot of them, is big, strong, and he's out there grinding with them every single day in practice and also doing ROTC drills when need be.
Yeah, that is a great story. All right, Kelly, last question here before we let you go. You know, offense is what drives the conversation, but – the other side of the ball can help you win games. And, you know, for Colorado State, they're going to have to face Nick Starkle for the first time, and you know, Nick Starkle is making his first start for the Razorbacks. What do you think their game plan will be against Starkle?
You know, that's a good question. I'm sure they're going to try to put a lot of pressure on him and unnerve him. You do that, I think, with any quarterback, especially a quarterback making a first start. At the same time, I don't think Nick Starkle is quite your, you know, this is a guy that's been around a bit. He's seen a lot of football, even if he hasn't played a ton of games. He's been through a lot of practices, a lot of film study, a lot of everything else. So,
right.
But and the other part, though, Colorado's strength of their defense right now, the strength of the Colorado State defense is their D-line. That's the one thing they have done pretty well this season is put pressure on the quarterback. You know, they had four sacks in the last week against, granted it was against Western Illinois, but and they had a couple sacks in the opener against Colorado. So I think that is what they are going to be really doing. And what they can do this year that they haven't been able to do in the past, they can put pressure on without blitzing. They've got four down linemen that are all good pass rushers, and that's a huge change. Our team that Arkansas played last year could not put any pressure on the passer unless they blitzed multiple linebackers or safeties or corners, and then that left them incredibly vulnerable in their pass coverage. This year's team, they're able to actually put that pressure on in a base defense, and I think that's the biggest defensive change for Colorado State this year is that they can play a little bit more honest and still get some pressure on the passer.
Very good stuff there. That's Kelly Lyle, a sports reporter for the Coloradan. And Kelly, thank you so much for joining us here on the Whole Hog Football Podcast.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Massage Envy with clinics in Rogers and Fayetteville has been awarded Northwest Arkansas's Best Day Spa and Best Massage. One of the reasons is our care for athletes, both serious and recreational. We now offer rapid tension relief sessions using a high-caliber vibrating tool and total body stretch sessions like the ones used by the PGA. Both of these new services can be combined with the always popular deep muscle treatment. So whether you compete or just want to relax, there is no place better than Massage Envy.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home, and take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
We can't let Ole Miss beat us twice, and last year we let Colorado State beat us twice, and we're not going to let that happen this year.
Senior tight end C.J. O'Grady there on focusing against Colorado State and not letting the loss to the Rebels get to the Young Hogs.
Welcome back to the Razorback Roundtable. We got Dudley Dawson, Scotty Borderline, and Tom Murphy joining us today on the Roundtable. Guys, let's just start it off. Big news of the week, Nick Starkle has been named the starter by Chad Morris for game number three. What do you expect the offense to look like with Starkle at the helm? We'll start with you, Tom.
Well, it's just a little more risk-reward is the easiest way to put it. Clearly, when he was in there, he's got the bigger arm, and you saw the Ole Miss safeties have to back off, and they completed some stuff underneath, and it just the passing game was more lively and more dangerous. But he also did not back Traylon Burks up off the line, which is something Ben Hicks might have caught, and he also threw the wrong way on what was going to be a double pass, which they say would have hit for a touchdown if they had thrown it to Burks instead of Mike Woods. So there's a give and take to it, and I think they made the choice with Ben Hicks early because it was a comfortable, safer pick. But now it's the point of the season where you've got to be really productive on offense. They haven't been productive enough, and that reflects back on Ben Hicks.
What do you think, Dudley?
Well, I've been Team Starkle since day one, not because of anything I didn't like about Ben Hicks, but I just thought that he had the higher ceiling and had played against SEC competition, and I think there's something to that. Obviously, he got that start in the second half, which I think if he had not been brought out there, the fans might be revolting even more than they are at this point. And he was very wise in his comments to not say who was starting at the end of the ball game, so he could talk to Ben about it. They've had a great relationship over the years at SMU. But this is definitely the right decision to me. Now, Nick may come out and throw two interceptions in the first half, but I still think you've got to live with that for a little while. You talk about getting him playing time and wanting to have him in a position to not only where he can succeed, but I think the others can succeed. I think Rakeem Boyd will be a beneficiary of Nick Starkle being in the game and not everybody and their dog being in the box. And that seemed to be what happened in the first half. And you especially can't run the wild hog or whatever they're calling with it when you're lining up. It seemed like 10 yards deep and then trying to run into a box that's full. So, I mean, I think that you've got to live with Nick Stark for a while, regardless of what happens in, you know, in the first half.
Yeah, and I think it's asking a lot or assuming a lot to say that Arkansas would have scored on that play if Starkle would have gone to Burks. Because with this team, I mean, you just kind of never know, and given Arkansas's recent history. But yeah, I expect Arkansas's offense to look, you know, a lot crisper. And I think they should, given Colorado State's defense. I think they allowed 50 points to Colorado in week one, right? At least 50. So I think the big playability will be there. And going back and rewatching the game this morning, Starkle took quite a few shots downfield. And, you know, they had to, Arkansas's coaches, like, they had to open up the offense a little bit more in the second half. You're playing from behind. You get down two touchdowns, and then late you get down three touchdowns, so you air it out a little bit more. But I expect, you know, Mike Woods, Trey Knox, Traylon Burks, some of those guys, maybe C.J. O'Grady, to kind of have maybe similar days than they had last week. I just expect the offense to look a lot better on Saturday with Starkle in control. We'll see if he can carry over that second half. He looked pretty good aside from a few throws.
What you're talking about, Scotty, is the offense kind of looked like it opened up more. I'll pose this question to you, Dudley. With Starkle now the quarterback, do you expect the Razorbacks to open up that field and take more deep shots?
Yes, I do. And in fact, I think they mentioned a little bit of that at the press conferences the other day. He definitely has a bigger arm. We've seen that even in these first two ball games. So what's interesting to me is that I talked to a Texas A&M fan right after they lost to Clemson the other day, and he was bemoaning the fact that Kellen Mond was his quarterback and he wanted Starkle back for that game. And I said, well, I don't think it's how it works, you know. But so we talked and he said that Starkle, man, he'll give you some outstanding plays, then he'll, you know, much like he did in the first game, throw an interception trying to throw it through two defenders to get to one person. So like I think Tom mentioned, risk reward is the thing right there, but it's definitely going to allow them to do more on offense. And I am sure, although I would never get anybody to say it, I am sure that the wide receivers and running backs are happy.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And just charting the passes at Ole Miss, I've got it right here. 11 plus yard passes, Starkle threw 13 and Hicks threw 6 the other day. So I think it's a little bit more check down, easy stuff when it is easy, which it rarely is, it seems like, with Hicks in control. But Starkle seemed like he wanted to push the ball downfield a little bit. And he's obviously got the arm to zip balls into guys when, you know, coverage is pretty tight. I think they'll probably get Knox and Burks probably more in the I don't know, 10 to 15 plus yard pass range. I want to see Mike Woods do that a little bit more. Like they hooked up for, I think, a 45 yard gain toward the end of the game on Saturday. But, you know, but like in week one, most of Woods's targets were like at or behind the line of scrimmage, which is strange to me because he's one of the better athletes in your receivers group. So you want to see him get out in some open space, see if he can make some guys miss. Yeah, I think they'll definitely open it up a little bit more. I think they definitely want to put more points on the board, so they'll take some shots.
Well, let's be honest about what we're talking about here. Ben Hicks had less than 50% completions, but let's give him credit. He was scrambling a couple of times the other night, and he found two huge gains, one of them to Mike Woods and one of them to Trey Knox. That was heady stuff. You know, there was pressure in the pocket. He stepped up, kept his composure, and found those plays. So he's a good guy to have as your backup, I'll say that. Just needs to – the passes he threw to Whaler are the ones that stand out. You know, you lead that wall on the flare pass on the right side,
oh, yeah.
And that could be a huge gainer, possibly a touchdown if he maybe makes one guy miss. And the other one, the little seam route, is a touchdown if he throws it on time and Whaley catches the pass. So for Hicks, here's Arkansas is having trouble scoring. So when they get into the SEC games where you're going to see even tougher pass rushes, they're going to have to win one-on-one battles deep. And that's a way to score points. And you miss Deion Stewart surely with his speed, and Jordan Jones coming back soon with his speed. You're going to take shots and have your 6'4", 6'5", receivers win jump balls against cornerbacks or get pass interference calls and score more points. And so it just stands to reason that's going to happen in the coming game.
And let's be just honest about one thing. Regardless of who's playing quarterback, even if it was one of us, the offensive line has got to keep him up. Even when he was getting the ball out quick the other night, he was still getting hit right after it. So we all know that the offensive line is getting better, but it's not obviously where it needs to be. And then that, I think, constricts what they call at times. And at times they call too cute stuff when they shouldn't call too cute stuff.
You know, kind of along those same lines, you know, Arkansas hasn't shown the quote unquote left lane hammer down that Morris, as soon as he was hired, said that he would bring to Arkansas. It was his only game 14 for him, or if you only played 14 at Arkansas with Morris at the helm. But what do you think is holding Morris's tempo offense back? We'll start with you, Scotty.
That's a good question. I think you got to have some stability at the quarterback position. Like last year, they flip-flopped between Ty Story and Cole Kelly, and that went into I don't think Arkansas like really settled on its starting quarterback last year until the Auburn game, when Ty Story didn't play the greatest game, but he showed a lot of toughness, hung in, took a bunch of hits, kept getting back up, led the offense on a few solid drives in that game, but they, again, couldn't get the ball in the end zone. They've got to finish drives on top of the quarterback instability so far. They've got to, when you get down in the red zone, man, you got to get points. You can't just rely on oh, well, we've got Connor Limper. We'll send him out there. He'll get three for us. You got to just – I mean, they got to sustain drives when they're in the red zone. I saw a couple of red zone passes the other night that were interceptable passes, just passes that were a little bit careless. So, I mean, they just got to finish, man. That's kind of what it comes down to.
Yeah, they have to be a better first down team. When you're getting big yardage on first down, five plus, you can run up to the line. With Starkle now, I don't know if they're going to be able to go super fast because there's so many things he's got to pre-snap check. So we'll see. What I was surprised on Saturday night was that Ole Miss, in the course of 1 week with a redshirt freshman quarterback, went from a lot of drop back and the back of the pocket was the target zone for Memphis, and they got there a lot. They moved Corral around a lot, and he seemed a lot more comfortable moving, throwing across his body even, just quick stuff. And they got their tempo going. So if with a redshirt freshman you can do that, with a lot of new linemen, Arkansas should be able to do that at some point.
That's kind of like what I talked about last week. Like, we've not seen Arkansas get into that hurry up, no huddle type offense, but Arkansas's opponents sure don't have problems with it, even rolling a redshirt freshman out there.
Well, let's start with the fact that I'll look at the big picture. The big picture is there's just not enough SEC caliber athletes either on the offense or the defense, although I do think they have probably more on the defense now, but so many of those kids are young, and as soon as anybody listens to this and hears the word young, that's not an excuse, it's a fact. You look back at the first 3 years of Coach B's era, and it was solid. They were moving forward. You had hope. You had good recruiting classes, and then he went to start lost some coaches and started hiring coaches that were assistants to the assistants, which to me is like a manager to, you know, in a basketball team or something. I mean, they were not good hires. They were good people for the most part, but they
like assistants just, to the regional manager.
Yeah. They're just, you know, it just was not good hires, and the recruiting got down, and then it turned into a team that, you know, to this point, and as you said, what is it, 14 games he's had? Arkansas has won 7 out of its last 28 games. So it's not been a one-man thing. It's been a complete team effort in getting there.
So per Scotty, Dwight Schrute equal Kurt Anderson. That's what I'm getting out of
that. Some people could probably make that case.
Dude always lands well, doesn't he?
He does.
All right, moving on, we're going to talk about the other side of the ball. And, you know, looking at the depth chart, defensive end and really the defensive line was, to start, kind of a stronger point of the Arkansas defense. But now, does it worry you guys that three out of the four guys listed on the 2D at defensive end are freshmen? We'll start with you, Tom.
Certainly it does. I mean, these guys are great athletes, and they can run, and they're going to develop. But right now, they're being thrown right into it. And I asked Chief Chavis this on Monday. You gave up the edge a lot against Ole Miss. How, you know, is that concern with those freshman ends? And he made sure to point out it wasn't all the ends. Greg Brooks, for instance, at nickelback. One of the key matchups in this game coming up is Dante Wright on those jet sweeps, and Greg Brooks, if he's run to the side, you know, the strong side, or where Brooks is, coming up and making tackles. He might have to make one-on-one tackles in space. So it all kind of works hand in glove, but they've got to be stronger against the run to start with. And then the edge stuff that Ole Miss was successful with, they did it both passing and rushing. Some of that does reflect on what your ends are doing to hold the point. And, of course, linebackers and the DBs all play into it as well.
What do you think, Doug?
First hand in glove. Nice OJ reference there. But I think that we're probably not losing any sleep, but I bet Steve Caldwell is, you know, because he knows he's got talented guys. And he talked about this over the summer when he would talk about his young guys, you know, oh, they're going to come in and make plays, and then they're going to make plays. It's going to make you wonder, why did they do that? And then I got to remember that they're freshmen now. I guess three of them were here, you know, from January on. But there's one thing to spring practice, and there's one thing to live games. And regardless of the talent level Ole Miss has, which is not what they used to have, but still do have, you know, decent talent, you keep going down the schedule after these next two games, and you're going to find some big-time guys who are offensive coordinators who have big-time players who are going to take advantage of that. Now, those three guys are going to make some great plays. They're also going to give up some big plays, just like I think the secondary is going to be great down the line. But right now, they're taking chances, and some of them are going well, and some of them are not.
Yeah, kind of to Tom's point about what Chavis said on Monday, the corners, the nickels, or the nickel, they've got to support some of the speed stuff that Colorado State will show. I don't think they did a great job of that on Saturday. I think Chavis said that much. So those defensive ends need some help from guys on the perimeter. I think Soli was fine in his first start. It didn't seem like the lights were too bright for him, kind of like Craddock said with Trey Knox and Traylon Burks. But I liked, aside from the face mask penalty that we got from Zach Williams, I liked what he brought. And I think Gabe Richardson probably played his best game at Arkansas. He finished with seven tackles, had, I think it was his first career full sack. So he was moving around and doing some things. He kind of got abused a little bit, but I think it was Octavius Cooley on the edge one time. That'll happen to you at least once if you play long enough, though.
I actually like the face mask penalty because he's trying to tackle somebody.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
good point.
There's no question Arkansas is missing Dorian Darrell, who probably was their best pass rusher on the edge. And it hurts. And the Zach Williams play, you get in there, you're going to get a sack. Oh, there's a big play. And then you face mask. It's all encapsulated in one thing.
And it kind of looked like Corral saw Zach Williams coming and was getting ready to just toss it to the sideline for a throwaway. And then Zach just grabs the face mask and it kind of goes to his detriment. But I liked what I saw from him.
I think Corral's got some Chad Kelly in him, both on the field and off.
Absolutely.
He's certainly an interesting character, but he's a really good quarterback. He's five-star for a reason.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they can keep him out of the limelight off the field, then I think that he's going to turn out to be a real good one for
him. And speaking on the defensive side, Colin Hill, the quarterback for Colorado State, he's had – two really good games against Colorado and Western Illinois. He threw for over 374 yards against a Power 5 team in Colorado. He completed a 77-yard touchdown pass against Western Illinois. What do you expect to see from Chavis and the defense to combat this Colin Hill attack? And we'll start with you, Tom.
Well, the Razorbacks wanted to rattle Matt Corral's cage, but because they moved the point, they couldn't get to him and couldn't rattle him. And I thought they were going to be able to do that. They did. In this game, Colin Hill with two knee surgeries is not going to be as mobile. So you're going to have a more defined, you know, target point in the backfield that I think they might be able to hit more. But they did a great job. I went back and watched the entire Colorado game. They did a great job of hitting their fullback, Prentice, their tight ends, Butler, and another guy. And the Dante Wright stuff. They get quick hitters on the edge. And then they got this big, tall 6'6 guy, Jackson, Warren Jackson, who is taking the place of the Williams that they had last year from Tennessee. So they attack, the way I wrote it and something I did today was they attack all quadrants, deep, intermediate, the edges, and it's going to keep Chavis guessing. But I think he's going to throw some pressure at Colin Hill, and maybe they rattle him a little more than they did Corral last week.
What do you think, Dudley?
Well, I think that probably we may be sitting here next week talking about a loss if things don't get rectified in both offensively and defensively, because I think Colorado State, while people want to say Arkansas should have beat them last year, and they should have, I do think they're a better football team this year. And I had a chance to watch them against Colorado. And, if I had no leanings and just sit here and watched an Arkansas-Ole Miss game and I watched a Colorado-Colorado State game, I'd pick Colorado State. Do like the fact that Arkansas's here at home. Do like the fact that Starkle's coming in. But I think that, Tom had some good technical points there. I would say mentally, they've got to be ready to play. They've got to view Colorado State as if it was Alabama. And I know that's hard to do, but you're at a point in your season where you're 1-1, and if you lose to Colorado State, you're probably going to beat San Jose State, but it's going to be a long year. Again, you've got to give your football team and your fans hope. And losing to Colorado State, even though I think they may be a better football team than Arkansas, boy, it's not going to sit well.
Yeah, I'm with y'all. And I'm looking at Colorado State stats through the first 2 weeks, and I see Colin Hill's only got 8 rush attempts. So he's not like either of the guys that Arkansas seen in the first week. So that tells me, he's going to stand in the pocket and try to deliver to his guys, get the ball in the hands of his playmakers. And since he's not taking off and running a whole lot, it seems like, and it looks like he's already completed 56 balls already this year. So that tells me he's either getting the ball out quick or his offensive line's protecting pretty well. I think they've only allowed 3 sacks. So I would think Arkansas would bring some pressure. And Chavis said on Monday, they've got to get him off his spot, because if they don't get him off his spot, he can complete some passes. He was very complimentary of Mike Bobo and the way that he coaches quarterbacks. He called Colin Hill an NFL caliber guy. So Arkansas has got to knock him off his spot, make him uncomfortable. And maybe with less of a threat to tuck and run, maybe Arkansas can get some pressure. But again, that's also counting on some of those young ends that Arkansas has, beating their one-on-one matchups, sometimes maybe double teams, getting in the backfield and kind of being disruptive.
We haven't even talked about Marvin Kinsey Jr., their running back, yet. And I think he's about 13th in the nation in yards from scrimmage. They throw the ball to him. He's got a lot of receiving yards, too. Arkansas bottled up the run in last year's game, and that's why they got that lead. It's just that when they went almost all air, I think their guys might have been a little winded, and the altitude might have played a role, and that filtered into that comeback.
Good stuff there. All right, you're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast here on the Whole Hog Radio, and we got Scotty Bordenline, Tom Murphy, Dudley Dawson. Just a few more questions for you guys. All right, overall perspective, starting with you, Dudley, through 2 games, where have you seen the Razorbacks improve?
Let's see.
I'm glad I'm not going first.
Yeah. let me think about this. Punting, I think Sam Lois is going to turn out to be a pretty good punter. Not every boot has been great so far, but he's got some inside the 20, and they've done good things. I really like the young wide receivers. I think they're going to continue to feature them more. If they don't, then we'll be on here talking about that, because they're clearly, at least 3 of them are talented. And now TQ Jackson's on his Twitter or Snapchat talking about how he's going to get to play. So, we'll see what the deal is there. I do like Myron Cunningham. I think he's doing a good job. And it's just hard to focus and pinpoint a lot of things that are better because of the effort you've seen before, in these 2 games. I do think in my head, I see them getting better, but it's just like anything else. You got to go out and execute, and they haven't been executing. I try to tell somebody, well, he said they were running vanilla plays. Well, they were, but they weren't executing their vanilla plays in game 1.
All right. What do you think, Scotty?
Yeah, so through 2 weeks, I really like the way Rakeem Boyd's running the ball. it looks, you know, people say all the time that running backs, when they run through a guy, he's like, he's running angry. I saw Rakeem do that a couple of times where he just put his head down and put his, the crown of his helmet right into somebody's chest and barreled through for 3 or 4 more yards after contact. So I like what he's producing there. You'd like to see Devoy Whaley and Chase Hayden get going behind Boyd, because right now they're kind of one-dimensional in the run game. And when Rakeem's in, defense are going to hone in on him. I really like Arkansas's young receivers, like Dudley said, and more than just catching the ball. You know, Traylon Burks, I think, is finally giving Arkansas a legitimate threat on punt return. Arkansas hasn't had a punt return for a touchdown. I'm not saying Traylon was close to breaking his punt returns in the first two games, but Arkansas's last punt return for a touchdown was like 2012 Cotton Bowl against Kansas State. Like, it's been a long time. But Traylon, I think it was his first or one of his two punt returns the other day, he made a guy miss, and then he picked up 15 yards. And while he's doing it, I look over at Clay. I'm just like, this kid's going to be special. He's got really, really good ability. I like what I saw from Trey Knox, who took a couple of really big hits the other night. You know, one of the hits, the ball got jarred loose. I think it was on Arkansas's first third down. But he took some big shots, kept getting back up. And if not for the ineligible man downfield, he would have had a really great day the other day.
I saw Traylon get an 87-yard punt return in high school. I swear there were 15 people that missed him. I think three or four came off the sidelines, and he still made them miss.
Broadly speaking, I think the improvements have been on special teams, just kind of as a whole. Even though Loy's punting after his first one against Ole Miss was not very good. Punt returns, as Scotty just mentioned. I think Ole Miss did some things in the kickoff game that threw Arkansas off. And so Devion Warren hasn't really had a couple of chances yet. And then I think it's safety. I think they're better at safety right now. I think Fouché has added something to them.
Cam Curl's playing great so far.
Great start.
Yeah.
And then just overall team speed. There's some areas we thought they were going to be better, and that they're not yet. I thought they were going to have a running game, at least these first two, that kind of chewed up some people, and they haven't done that yet. And it's reflective of, you know, not being a full unit or in a groove on the offensive line. They're just going to have to be more physical and hold their blocks better. So, to me, they're a team that needs to believe in itself. I mean, they think they can do it, but they have to believe that they can go out and dominate somebody, and we're not seeing that yet.
And Ricky Stromberg is a good kid. He's going to be a really good player, I think. But the fact that he's starting shows you where they're at in terms of missed evaluations or kids not developing in the offensive line from the previous staff and the current one.
I wonder if Stromberg will stay there even if they get Austin Capps back. Is Stromberg, I think Craddock said, Stromberg was like the second best graded offensive lineman on Saturday. He's a true freshman in his first SEC game. That's pretty solid.
All right, guys. Last question as we wrap it up here on the Whole Hog Football Podcast. I know it's only the third game of his second season, Scotty, but how important is this game against Colorado State for Chad Morris?
Oh, it's big. Yeah. I mean, if Arkansas loses this game, all hell's going to break loose, right? Yeah, right? Like, legitimately, it might.
It hasn't already.
Certain places it has. I won't say the site names. But yeah, I mean, they've got to go out and win this one, and I think they've got to do it somewhat convincingly if they can. And that's probably asking a lot the way the offense has looked, you know, 6 of 8 quarters this season. And then defensively, I think you got to be sharp. You got to tackle in the open field. And like, Arkansas missed way too many tackles, especially on the perimeter. On Saturday, and it led to a bunch of explosive plays either in the run game. I mean, they gave up 140 yards to Ole Miss's starting running back, and then you gave up, 130 to their – not even their best receiver, I don't think. So missed tackles played a big role in that. Arkansas's got to be sharper there, get pressure on Colin Hill, and then you just want to see – you want to see Arkansas's offense move with a little bit of fluidity on Saturday with Starkle in charge.
It's a huge game for Chad Morris. You don't want to look poorly in front of your home crowd again. Had they come out and scored 50 on Portland State, had they executed more cleanly and been in the game till the end against Ole Miss, people might feel differently. But right now, it's why aren't you executing more cleanly? You know, how come the stuff we thought we'd see this year hasn't started coming to fruition? I thought they made a solid choice in starting Ben Hicks to start the year. But I thought by week two, and I think we might have said it in here, you need to find your guy. And Starkle might have been the guy, and Hicks played the first half of the game. So they need to execute the things that they're going to run more cleanly, and that comes back on your coaching staff.
Which is where I want to pick up. Yes, the perception if they lose this football game is going to be bad. It's going to continue the narrative that maybe this staff is not up to SEC standards. What I think may be the biggest thing going into this game are really two big things. Number one, if you lose this game at home against Colorado State, it's going to be just us guys hanging out at the, you know, the games the rest of the year. I mean, they've got a real chance to just, there's going to be bad attendance if, you know, if they don't get this one, and they really need to get both of them. But the other thing I think is we are now in a position in society, be it pro sports, high school sports, college sports, that somebody has to be the fall guy. I do not believe that they will fire him at the end of the season unless he gets a motorcycle and blonde and hits a ditch, you know, and all those good things that you can come back to the state and apologize for. But what I do think is there are some assistants over there right now that are coaching for their job, and they need to realize that. And because if he has a bad year and they don't fire him, somebody's getting fired. Somebody always gets fired. And maybe it's just coincidence that the athletic director shows up, but I know that I would, if I saw him sitting in the back of a press conference, I'd be ready to say, well, you know, we better do something here. I mean, there should be far more reasons besides the athletic director and the fans and attendance and all that, but I really do believe that there are some assistants over there who are going to be coaching for their jobs the rest of the season.
Well, that is Dudley Dawson, Tom Murphy, and Scotty Bordelon. Thank you so much, guys, for coming, and you can read all of their stuff on wholehogsports.com. The Whole Hog Sports Football Podcast is produced and edited for Airship by me, Seth Campbell. Special shout-outs to Kelly Lyle, Tom Murphy, Dudley Dawson, and Scotty Bordelon. You can read more from Kelly Lyle in the Coloradoan. You can read more from Scotty, Tom, and Dudley on wholehogsports.com. Thank you to our sponsor, Massage Envy. By supporting them, you are supporting us. Don't forget to like and subscribe to the podcast. Subscribing and sharing is one of the best ways to let your friends know about this podcast. Theme music is by Silent Partners. I'm Seth Campbell from Whole Hog Sports. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you back here next week.